What's our message? We call it the gospel. We call it the good news. Romans 1:16, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God to salvation to everyone who, what? To believes. And then it says, works are not for salvation. Is that correct? No one, it says, by grace we've been saved through faith and not of ourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So we start looking and we say, good gracious, but what are works for? Well, the passage goes on to say in Ephesians 2:10 that we're created for good works. We're to do good works as one who is saved. But some say this. Some say that works are a test for salvation. That if you don't have works, you're not saved. And they'll say, well, faith without works is dead. So if you say you're a Christian, but you don't do good works, it shows your faith is dead, so you're not saved. You're not a believer because you really don't have faith. That's what some people say. Others say that works show your salvation to others. And that James is really saying, show your faith by your what? By your works. So we want to look at that. We want to look at James 2, and we're going to raise a lot of those questions because there's some hard things in there about faith without works is dead, and even the demons believe and tremble, and Abraham was justified by his works and not by faith alone, those kind of things. And so we want to see how it fits together. And as we're going through it, this is a little unusual because sometimes I just talk, right? But if you've got a question, comment, input, if something doesn't make sense exactly, stop us even right now. Because even though it's a big group, this is an important passage because a lot of people are confused. That's why it's so important to look at Hebrews chapter 6 and Hebrews chapter 10, because a lot of people look at those passages and are confused. James chapter 2 is one of the most famous passages for people saying you have to do good works to prove you're saved. And this is not what this passage is saying at all. So as we see James 2, James charges believers to show others their faith by their action. And we're going to divide it into two parts. In the first 13 verses of James 2, he's actually saying, don't show partiality to fellow believers. And then in verses 14 through 26, he's saying, show your faith by your works. That's really what it's about. And so as we look at this, there's some great things there. James writes to believers to live out their faith. And I think it's some things to understand to live out their faith. Now, let me just say this. There's some people who say you're supposed to look at people's lives to see if they're Christians by their works. That's a total different issue than what James is talking about. First of all, nowhere in the scripture does it say you look at somebody's life, look at their fruits, and determine they're Christian. It doesn't say that. This passage is talking to Christians, fellow believers. He calls them brothers about five times in the book, and he's telling them, you need to live out your faith. You need to do good works so people can see your faith. That's what he's talking about. So two things to think about, that James is writing to believers, and that the key is show faith by works. He's not saying that if you don't have works, you're not saved. He's not saying you even prove your salvation by your works. He's saying that as a Christian, you need to live out your faith. We would say the same thing. I would say to every one of you in this room, you who know Jesus Christ as Savior, you need to live righteously and godly. You need to live in such a way that our fellow believers know, can see your faith. This is not proving it to anyone, and this is not trying to show to yourself that you're saved. This is living out your faith. Now, let's look at James chapter 2, okay? James chapter 2 is 26 verses. And the first 13 deal with one thing, and the second 13 deal with something else. So let me, but the whole end of it is he's writing to believers to live righteously, to live out their faith with their fellow, live out their faith with their fellow believers. Okay? And this is not saying live it out so you can prove you're saved. He doesn't say that. He lives, live it out so you show your faith. Now, let's look at the first part, and I'm going to go quickly through it so you can understand. In the first 13 verses, here's the issue. The challenge is to not show partiality. He's talking to Christians. Look how chapter 2 begins. How does it begin? My what? My brethren. He's talking to who? Believers. He's talking to believers, and he's not saying to believers, okay, you guys better live right or it proves you're not a Christian. He doesn't say that at all. He's saying you guys need to live a certain way so that our faith can be seen. Now, in the first part, it's called showing partiality. You ever thought about showing partiality? What if somebody came to me and said, hey, I'd like to give $2 million towards your building fund? We'd say, great, great. And so that person comes in on Sunday morning, and we're getting them coffee, and we're doing, come on and sit right up here. Right in front of Bonita. And then another person comes in, and that person had come during the week to the office and didn't have enough money to pay their electric bill and needed some money from the church. And maybe we gave them money to pay their electric bill. And they come in those back doors, and we don't try to get them a seat. We don't even say, go get coffee. We actually say, I hope you can find a place to sit down. What have we done? We've shown what? Partiality. Is one believer more important than the other? Are some people's spiritual gifts more important than other people's spiritual gifts? Are some people's money more important than some people's no money? No. This is the issue that James starts out with, because obviously in the church, he's writing to Jewish believers, actually, and he's writing to them, and apparently they were showing partiality. Somebody wealthy might come in, they give them a good place to sit because they're looking for their what? Their money. Somebody who's not very wealthy comes in, they didn't care. Listen to this. My brethren, don't hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus with an attitude of personal favoritism. Who is he writing to? Believers. If a man comes into your assembly and he has a gold ring and he's dressed in fine clothes, okay, that means he's what? He's rich. And there comes one, it comes in a poor man in dirty clothes, that means he's what? Poor. And you pay special attention to the one who's wearing the fine clothes, and you say, hey, sit here in a good place. And you say to the poor man, stand over there or sit down by my footstool. Actually, in the Greek, it says, sit up under the stool. You know, just get over there and get up on, you know, get over there. The rich guy, you got right here, man. Good seat. Just sit anywhere if you can. Get over there on the floor. That's what he really says. Get over there on the floor. What does James say? He says, have you not made distinction among yourselves and become judges with evil motives? Listen, my brethren, does God choose the poor of this world to be rich in the faith and heirs of the kingdom? You have dishonored the poor man. And that basically he's saying, you can't show what? Partiality. What are you supposed to do when anyone comes in these doors, rich or poor? You're supposed to what? Love them? Love one another? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And you're to love one another, be kind-hearted, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, loving one another, all of those things. So look what he says in verse 8. If, however, you're fulfilling the royal law is not the Mosaic law. The royal law is the law of Christ, which is love others as I have what? Loved you. The royal law is loving one another. So look what he says. If, however, you're fulfilling the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing what? You're doing good. If you're not showing partiality and you're loving everybody, you're doing good. But if you show partiality, you're committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. He says, if you show partiality, what are you doing? What are you doing if you're showing partiality? You are sinning. That's exactly what he's saying. And then he goes on to say, whoever, if you tried to say, I'm going to keep the whole law, yet if you stumble it in one point, you're guilty of the whole thing. For the guy who said, I don't commit adultery, but said, I don't commit murder. Now, if you don't commit adultery, but you commit murder, you're still broken the law. So then he says the key words. So speak what you say, and so act how you live as those who are judged by the law of liberty. The law of liberty is the same as the law of love. It's the idea of you have great freedom to love one another as Christ loved us. If you're loving one another as Christ loved us, will you show partiality when somebody comes in the door? No. This is what James is saying to these believers, right? Everybody seen it so far? Okay. Then he says in verse 13, and this is kind of a hard part, he says, for judgment will be merciless to the one who shows no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What is he talking about there? What's the flow of the passage? What's he talking about? What happens to a believer who shows partiality? Bonita, what were they doing? You said it a while ago. When you show partiality, you're what? sinning. What happens to a believer who is sinning? He gets what? Disciplined by God. Is that right? He says, if you're going to show partiality, guess what's going to happen? Judgment will be merciless to the one who showed no mercy. So what's he saying? That if, what if I, let's just say me, I know this guy is rich, and I'm wanting him to give to our building fund. And I know somebody else is poor, and I know they're not, not only are they not going to give to the building fund, we're going to have to be giving them to them. And the rich guy comes in, and I go, hey, hey, oh, I'm so glad. Let me get you a donut. Let me get you a rhino. I was going to let you sit by Bonita, but let's go sit over here. And we get all that going, and then the poor guy comes in, and I go, and he goes, JB, can I talk to you? Now, I can't talk right now. I'm busy. Maybe I'll see you after the service, maybe. Have I shown what? Partiality. Is that sin? Will I be disciplined? If I don't deal with it, I will, right? What's James writing to these people about? You better not. Cause obviously, in the church, wherever he's writing to these believers, what were they doing? Showing partiality. Okay, everybody got it. Now, and listen, when believers go against the word of God, there will be what? Discipline. Okay, everybody got it? Are we okay up to where we are right now? Okay? So, love your neighbor, obey the word. Now he's going to say, let's live out your faith by your works. He's going to change a little bit. He's going to give it a little different view. He's just told them, don't show partiality, because if you show partiality, what's going to happen to you? What's going to happen to you? You're going to be disciplined, okay? Now remember, in the original, in the scripture and in the letter, there's no break between verse 13 and verse 14. There's no break. He didn't just suddenly, he's going to carry on his thought. Now watch what he's going to do, because remember, because we're going to see, he's going to talk about living out your faith, and we're going to see something. Look, I think the next line says, he's not saying we prove our salvation by works. He's saying we keep our salvation by works. He's saying others can't see our salvation, others can see our salvation by our works. He's going to say, listen, you've seen what I've told you to do. Don't show partiality. Now, there is an issue that we're going to see as we go through this second section, because he's going to talk about living it out, okay? And there's a whole issue of justification. Now, let me ask you a question. Every one of us in this room, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are what? Justified. That means to be declared right before God, to declare righteous before God, and it comes by what? Faith. And so how are you justified before God? By your faith. Okay, now there's two kind of justifications. There's a justification before God, which is by what? Faith. There is justification before people by what? Now, how does God declare you righteous? By what? Faith. How do people declare you righteous? By your works. Listen, you can say all day long, I have faith, but you can't see your faith without your what? You can't. And that's what James is going to talk about. Now watch what he's going to do. Remember the flow? Verse 13 says, judgment will be merciless to the one who has shown no mercy. So there's going to be what? Discipline coming? Right? If you don't what? If you don't what? If you don't quit showing partiality, right? Okay, we got it. If we don't get it, we can't go to the next verse because it fits together. We got it? Okay, you got it? Okay, now watch. Because I believe my wife, if she said we got it, we got it. Now, because remember, sin brings judgment and discipline. Look at verse 14. What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works, can that faith save him? Save him from what? Has he suddenly decided, let's talk about eternal life salvation? What has he just been talking about? If you show partiality, you can expect what? Discipline. And he says, if you say you have faith, but you don't have the works, can that faith what? Save you from what? Discipline. That's exactly right. Everybody goes to James 2, verse 14, pulls it out of context and says, if you don't have good works, you can't be saved. And they think it means what? Eternal life salvation. Is anything in this passage talked about eternal life salvation ever? What's he talking about? Discipline, partiality, everything else. He says, if you show partiality, you can expect discipline, but you can say, hey, I have faith. Without works, what's going to happen? Can that faith save you from discipline? It cannot. That's really what the point is. Can that faith save you from discipline? The answer is no. And now he's going to use it in actual living it out. Watch what he says. If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of them says to you, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Okay? We're going to live it out now. And a person comes to me, and they say, we don't have enough clothes. We're cold, and we don't have any food. And so we need some food, and we need some clothes. And I say, well, thanks for dropping by, but I can't help you right now. By the way, in the last 2 weeks, we've had at least two different people come into our church office, and a lady came into me, and she came right, and I know her. She calls me JB. I don't know how she knows me. She just knows my name. And she walked in, and she said, JB, I need some help. I said, what is it? She said, I need some food for my kids. I said, I didn't know what she was going to say. I didn't know how much she wanted. I said, how much do you need? She said, I need about $15. Did we give her food? Did we give her money? Sure I did. Okay? Now, what if I'd have said, I know your kids are hungry, and I know you don't have any money, but thanks for coming by the church office. Thanks so much. Be warm and be what? Be warm and be filled. What if one of them, what if you say, go in peace and be warm and be filled, that you don't give them what is need for their body? What use is that? Hey, how do you feel? Oh, I'm living out the law of love. I'm living for Jesus Christ. I'm gonna love my neighbor as myself. I'm gonna love one another as Christ loved me. Somebody comes and needs something, and I go, be warm and be filled. Have a good time. I'm sorry, I can't help you. He says, what good is that? Have I lived out my faith? Have I lived out my faith? No, I have not. Watch what James says. So, even so, faith, if it has no works, is what? Dead by itself. What does it mean to be dead? Let me show you something. I don't know if I have we don't have a slide on that, do we? No. Is that on, that's on in the next, yeah, okay, that's on in 17. But, oh, no, it is. Okay, so listen to this. So faith, if it doesn't have works by itself, is dead. What does that mean? Dead in the Greek means inactive. It means not working. Let me ask you a question. If I have a dead faith, do I have faith? Yes or no? Yes. Is it not working? Is it not working if it's dead faith? Correct. If somebody comes and says, we need food, and I would have looked at that lady and said, I want you to be full and I want you to be warm. Thanks for dropping by the office. What kind of faith is that? Dead faith. That's what James is talking about. He's saying, you're not living out what you believe. What are we supposed to do? What did he show back up here in chapter 2, 1 through 13? What do? You love your neighbor. You don't show partiality. You have the law of love and the law of liberty, which is reaching out and loving and doing all that. And he says, but somebody comes up here and they have a need and you go, thanks for coming. He says, so faith, if it has no works, is rendered inactive. It's not working. Let me ask you a question. Let's say right now we went out and we're going to run out of time, but we ran out. I go out to the car and I get in my car. I'm getting ready to leave and I go, oh man, my what? My battery's what? Dead. And I go open it up and the battery's there and I said, I need to call Ron Shirley right now because I don't know what to do about this. But anyway, so now do I have a battery? Is it working? No. When I have dead faith, do I have faith? Is it working? Is this anything talking about whether you're saved or not? No, it's talking about living out your what? Your faith. So watch what he says. So even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead being by itself. Okay? It's rendered inactive. You have a dead faith. Many Christians have dead faith. It doesn't mean they don't have faith. It means their faith is what? Not working. Okay? Watch what he goes on to say. But someone may say, you have faith. And the person who's saying this is the writer. What if somebody said, you have faith, I have works. Show me your faith without the works. I'll show you my faith by my works, he says. You have faith, I have works. Show me your faith without works. I'll show you my faith by my works. Let me ask you a question. Show me your faith without works. You can't do it. Why? Because you can't see faith, right? So the writer, the guy says, I have faith. He says, you have faith, but your faith is what? Dead, because it's not working. And the guy says, but I have faith. He says, show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith with works. How do we show faith? By our works. That's exactly what he's saying, okay? Now, let me show you this. He's basically saying, as a believer, you can have a dead faith, and a dead faith means it's not working, and nobody can see your faith when it's not working. Does this make sense? Okay. Now, the next verse is a little bit hard. What I'm going to do is just touch on it, and I'm going to come back to it in a minute. But he says, you believe that God's one, or that there's one God, basically. You do well. That's right. That's the truth. Well, the demons also believe and shudder. Now, what is he talking about? Why would he throw this in, that the demons believe and tremble? Because he's saying this, you can say all day long that you have faith, but no one can see that faith if you don't do what? Works. Why would he say demons believe and tremble? Do the demons have faith? Yes. What do they believe about Jesus Christ? What do they believe about Jesus Christ? What do the demons believe about Jesus Christ? Because they have faith. They have faith in Christ. What do they believe about him? Do they believe that he is the Son of God? Do they believe that he is the Savior of mankind? Do they believe that he died and rose again? Do they believe that he is the judge of the world? Yes. Do they believe that he is their Savior? Why? Because he's not their Savior. He didn't die for demons. He died for people. And so, when it says the demons believe, they believe in Jesus as the Messiah and the Judge, but they cannot believe in Jesus as Savior. Why? Because he didn't die for angels. He didn't die for demons. He's not the Savior of demons. That's why they believe and do what? Tremble. You remember when some demons saw Jesus when he walked on the earth, they would fall down in front of him and say, have you come to judge us before our time? Demons believe and tremble because they believe that Jesus is the Son of God and the Savior of the world and the Judge of the world, and they tremble because he's their Judge and not their Savior. Okay? Now watch what he goes on to do, and we're going to run out of time, but watch this next part. So here's what he says. But are you willing to recognize, foolish fellow, that what? Faith without works is, what does your Bible say? It's the same word. It's the idea. Faith without works is useless. It's no profit. A believer without works has a dead faith, and it's no benefit to who? To anyone. That's exactly right. And can you see someone's faith without their works? No. Okay, now, we've got just about 4 minutes, so here's what I want you to understand. And you got to see the picture. In James 2, he writes, and the believers, wherever he is writing, were showing partiality to rich people and poor people, and they were violating the scripture. They were violating God's law, the love of Jesus Christ. He says, love your neighbor as yourself, love others as I have loved you, and they weren't doing that. And he says, when you do that, you can expect discipline. But you could say, but I believe, and I'm living for God and everything. He says, you are. You will saying you believe save you from discipline when you disobey the scripture? The answer is it will not. He says, let me give you an example. Somebody comes and they need food and clothing, and you say, go away, and you don't meet their needs. You have a dead faith. you're not living out your faith. Nobody can see your faith. In fact, show me your faith without your works. Can't be done. I'll show you my faith by my works. It can be done. And so are you willing to recognize, foolish fella, that's how he says it, that faith without works is what? It's useless. It doesn't do anything. It's like having the battery and it's dead and it won't work. Okay? Now he's going to give two examples of a person who lived out their what? Their faith. One is who? Abraham. The other is Rahab. Now we got just a second. I want to give you something. Think of this picture. When Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, God came to Abraham and told him to leave the land, go to another land, and he would make a great nation of him. He would do everything. What did Abraham do? Abraham believed God. Later on in chapter 15 of Genesis, it says Abraham had believed God and it was credited to him for righteousness. Was Abraham a believer? How would we see Abraham's faith? Okay, we're going to see something else. Just in a general point, how would you see that Abraham had faith? By what he did. Okay, now here's the picture. Many years later, over 30 years later, God says to Abraham, take your son, go 3 days' journey, put him on an altar, and kill him. And Abraham got up, took his son, they took some servants, and they went all the way to Mount Moriah, which is Jerusalem. And they got there, and Abraham turns to these other people, and he says, my son and I are going on the mountain to worship, and we will return. What did God tell him to do? Kill him. He goes up there, and what by offering his son on the top of that mountain, what did that show? Abraham had faith. He was justified by his? No, he was justified by his works. He'd already been justified by faith. When he offered up Isaac, he's justified by his works. Okay, if I say to you, I have faith in Jesus Christ and I'm living for him and everything else, and you see somebody come to me and say, I need some help, and I go, thanks for coming, what do you say? I don't see JB's what? Faith. But if I say, here's $20, $30, what do you need? Okay, thanks for coming. You saw that? You say, he has faith. I'm living out my faith. That's the picture of Abraham. Now there's one more and we'll stop. But he's going to talk about Rahab. Anybody know who Rahab was? What do we call her? Rahab the harlot. What does that mean? She's a prostitute. She lived in Jericho. Jewish people, the nation is surrounded. They're fixing to destroy Jericho. And the spies sneak in there and they come to her house and she hides them. And they're there and the soldiers are coming after them. And they say, what are we going to do? And she says, get up there. I know your God is the true God and I need your help. And she hides them. How did the spies know that Rahab actually had believed in the God of Israel? By her what? Her works. What did she do? She hid the spies. So what I want you to see, and we'll go a little bit more detail on this next week. What I want you to see is he's saying, when you live out your faith, people can see it. And the only way you can live out your faith is by your works. And that's why he says that sometimes you're justified by your works. Before who? Before who? People. You're justified by faith before God, your justified works before people. Does that make sense? We're going to see this. Look at the very end of the passage. Verse 26. For just as the body without the spirit is dead. Is it still a body? Yes. So faith without works is dead. Is it still faith? Yes. So I want you to see that. So you might say, well, I'm not quite ready to do this with everybody else when somebody comes and asks me, so we're going to go over a little bit more next week. But I want you to understand this is a powerful passage because he's basically saying to us Christians, us, you need to live out your faith so we can see each other's faith. Because if we just say, go warm, be filled, we show partiality, we do all these things, we have a dead faith, and we don't want a dead faith. What happens if you live your life with a dead faith? You have no what? You have no what? What? You have no what? Works, right? And if you don't have any works, you don't have any rewards. That's exactly right.